What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Dark Sunsets, episode 9. JR.
What up, JR?
What's good, man? It's a beautiful Friday evening. I feel like we're just bouncing around when we're recording here, but we feel like when we want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great week, and you know, shout outs to our studio location in downtown. It's the first time we're recording here, but if you do hear some noise in the background, I will say that the brewery downstairs is a little bit lit, so... You know, just bear with us. You know, we're working on, you know, new locales and fun new programs for you guys.
Yeah, and we're coming closer to that sponsorship as well. You actually definitely got some merch from Guacamole, some tees that came your way.
David hooked it up. They just printed a couple tees, so they tossed out a couple samples. And, you know, not only was the food fire, but the shirts are also fuego. So it was definitely a solid day, you know, at Taco Tuesday. It was a solid week. And then... as always, the darker the sunsets, the brighter the days. And you know, keep an eye out for any new merch that's coming out. Possibly some talks about getting some koozies out there for you, soda, you know, fancy water and beer drinkers.
Absolutely, and it's coming down to that standpoint, right? We're here in Florida; it's getting hotter, so everyone wants to be able to make sure that their drinks are cooler. So those koozies are going to be definitely coming through soon. So we'll send those out to all the homies. But we have an action-packed episode. Per usual, we're coming up on a milestone, man. Almost 10 episodes.
Yeah, we're just chugging along. I mean, really, the easy part is just presenting you guys all the stories. The tough part is trying to find all the cream of the crop stories, because there's just so much stuff going on out there where, I mean, there's a lot of outrageous stuff, but we want to give you guys at least the top stuff, you know, so that you were in the know.
100%. So yeah, let's really just dive into it straight away. So this past week was definitely something that we wanted to share with you when it comes to different areas throughout the world as well. So even if you're not the biggest sports fan, there was a historical moment that happened most recently here with Mr. Tiger Woods.
Yeah, big shout outs to Tiger Woods. Actually, my Twitter handle, I've kept it, you know, it's at Tiger Hoods with two Z's.
Love it.
Because I'm sleeping on him. But it's like... I've had it for years, and you know, he's been through, I think it's been like 10 years or something since he's won his last tournament. And you know, he won the Masters, which is pretty much like the biggest tournament in golf. And I would say that there was some inclement weather. The Masters takes place in Augusta, Georgia, and there was some inclement weather coming in. So they actually moved up the last tee time to, I think it was 9:30 a.m. Eastern yep. Standard Time. So really, like, the golf was done by about 1 or 2 o'clock, and it was actually, it's kind of like when NFL does the games in London. I always call it pancakes and pigskin, because it's, you know, breakfast football. Like when you were a kid, it was like Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
And like cereal, you know, Sunday when you're an adult, male specifically. But, you know, all you that like Sunday football women, you know, like those European games, it's like pigskin and pancakes. So it was cool to actually have that event happen that early. And then just, it was a great sports moment to see him actually come back from everything he's went through and win that Masters jacket, that big tournament.
Yeah, definitely. And so if you don't know about Tiger Woods, if you're definitely just learning about just golf in general and who he is as an athlete, right, he's been through a lot. He went through multiple scenarios. He had some major scandals that happened, as you and I both know, right? Mm-hmm. He was married, had kids, cheated on his wife, cheated with multiple women. One would say some waitresses from shithole restaurants, if you will. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely birdied his balls a little bit too much, as they say in the business. But yeah, I mean, he had the those scandals, but then he also had like 4 back surgeries and didn't think that he'd be able to play golf again.
Right.
And like, so when he was sitting down, you know, the Masters always does this like ceremony every year where previous winners all sit down for like a winner's dinner. And like 3 years ago, he was going to one of those winner's dinners, and they had to actually give him like a nerve block in his spine.
Wow.
So that he could actually sit and actually, you know, be able to make it through the dinner, you know, without serious pain. He couldn't even play with his kids, you know, at that point. So,
and that's a huge deal as well. It's like, if you know the story behind Tiger as well, like, he's been through such a roller coaster of a career. When all those scandals happened, as you and I both know, he lost a lot of sponsors, right? Like Gatorade and Gillette and these major companies left him.
Yeah.
But the one company that definitely stood by him was that Nike ad in particular, that company. So that's huge that not only was he able to like resurface his career completely, and for everybody who's a true sports fan, it was a great story. And when I watched it, I mean, I didn't tear up, but when I watched it, I'm like, this is an incredible story for a man who's been such bad luck throughout his life and what he's done in his existence, that he came back and he won this. And you could just tell just the amount of passion that came over him when he won that tournament. Yeah.
And I will say that Gatorade Tiger flavor, that was actually one of the greatest Gatorades of all time.
I love that.
I was devastated when straight it got up. Cold, and there hasn't been a Gatorade as good as that, you know, period. So there's other Gatorades that have come out, like Gatorade Flows and stuff, but that Tiger one was one of the greatest. So, you know, hopefully that gives Gatorade some inspiration to bring it back to Tiger drink. But then also it'd be cool to almost maybe see Tiger get, you know, he has to have an EA Sports video game.
I hope that's the case. I mean, I definitely bought, I think I bought like two versions of Tiger and I played that game historically. Yeah, yeah. And I think EA was another sponsor that walked away from him. But as you were mentioning about the actual Tiger Woods Gatorade, it was amazing. And every time I drank it, even when I played golf, I somewhat in the back of my mind thought I was Tiger.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, I basically Gatorade has their opportunity to get back into the Tiger Gatorade without, you know, showing bad face or anything. Like, they should do it because automatically I would get some. But that new sports drink, Body Armor, is actually really, really good.
Someone introduced me actually to that recently, and it was pretty decent. Like, I heard James Harden and some big names are around that.
Yeah.
But just a full circle around, like, Tiger in particular. So he obviously won the Masters, which was a huge favorite. But one couple actually in Texas, as we were just talking about, they had a bet internally as a family in Texas where 25-year-old Trey Little actually bet his wife Denise that if Woods did win the Masters, they would name their son Tiger.
That's, I mean, I've heard of, you know, children being named after sports stars, you know? But it's actually pretty funny that they did a wager on this. Like, I mean,
you know what I mean? I wonder if it was like such a far stretch where his wife's like, oh, you really think Tiger's gonna win this tournament? Sure, I'll bet you that. And
then check the Vegas odds and she's like, oh, this ain't happening. Like, this is not happening. Little baby Violet, you know, is not gonna be named Tiger.
I just hope that baby definitely is raised, and I hope they play sports in some manner, whether it's golf or not. Obviously you can't have two Tigers in one sport. One Tiger is enough to facilitate all these wins that are happening. But now the kid is named Tiger. So the family agreed on that. That happened. And on hole 18, we realized, wow, he's really going to pull this. This is an internal conversation that they had as a couple. Wow, he's really going to pull this thing off, Lily told the Post. This whole thing started as almost a joke, which really turned into a real life scenario, pronouncing their baby named Tiger.
Yeah, and then I guess in order to secure the bet, they said that the husband had actually brought his wife a written contract, you know, before the Masters began. That way it could be signed and whatnot. And that way, in case Tiger did win it, he'd have, you know, guaranteed win legally.
Which I love that. I mean, I think that's fantastic. So as we're talking about Tiger as well, so obviously shout out to that family who named their kid Tiger. So as we're progressing about Tiger as well, there was an interesting article here about a man, James Aducci, who actually had a bet of a lifetime.
Yeah, this guy allegedly never had, you know, placed a sports bet in his life, allegedly. If so, that's very, very, very rare, but, you know, more, congrats to him for not doing that throughout his life, but bigger ups for actually placing this bet. So what he did was he put down, I believe it was an $85,000 bet.
Racks.
Yes, definitely. Like, he dropped 85 racks on him, and he put that on Tuesday prior to the Masters. You know, Masters starts on a Thursday, and he's a self-employed day trader, and yeah, he flew all the way from Wisconsin to Las Vegas, you know, to place the bet. He, you know, had a mortgage on his house. He had two student loans. He had two car loans, and he said, you know, fuck it. Like, I'm going to take 85 racks.
That's
and
so insane, though. Tiger. You know what I mean?
And I mean, Tiger has won some, you know, tournaments previously, you know, but at the same time, that nobody was predicting for him to win this one. There's sports people saying he's washed up, whatever else. But basically, from him placing this $85,000 bet, he ended up hitting, and the amount, I'm going to let you tell the crowd the amount that he won, but I mean, just bless his heart for pulling this off.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable the fact that, you know, when he put down that $85,000, this was part of the story that really took me back by surprise as we talk about his earnings that he made, which I would be freaking out if I'm a gambler as well. You bet on sports as well. We freak out when these certain things happen, but you and I are only betting like tens, twenties, maybe $50 total max. This guy actually put $85,000 on Tiger Woods to win. And my favorite part about this is he actually sat in a shared Lyft ride so he could save $2 with a mother and a child who were talking about how they were struggling to find money to pay rent, right? So this is an individual who's actually taking and thinking about money collectively, but he's willing to bet Tiger Woods to win the Masters. So not only did this man bet $85,000 for Tiger to win the Masters, which it was somewhat of a close call, right? He won it by definitely one stroke, but he certainly won $1.275 million.
Yeah, that's insane. And I mean, it's a ballsy bet, but, you know, ballsy payout. I think it was Tiger, the odds are 14 to 1. So, I mean, he had a fat payday. And I'm hoping that since he was so fiscally responsible with that Lyft ride, he's going to take care of the student loans and whatever else. But, you know, Tiger definitely changed history for himself and changed history for this James Adwell guy. Is it Adwell?
Yeah.
And, you know, or Aducci, something like that.
Yeah.
His handwriting is terrible, but, you know, biggest thing is it won't matter because he got the 1.2 mil. So, you know, that was a just crazy recap of what happened. And, you know, shout out to Tiger Woods for all that.
And it's interesting as well. Like, you think, as the article states as well, weeks before he told his wife, and, you know, you're married and you're like going through this, like $85,000, no matter how much money you make, in my opinion, that's a lot of money. You know what I mean? So weeks before he told his wife that he wanted to place his wager, though he faced a little bit of opposition initially. And his wife said to him, "I can't stop you from doing this because if he wins, I'll never forgive myself." ... She's a keeper.
Well,
so could you imagine?
She didn't, because if she would have put her foot down and then didn't do it, and then he would have went back and calculated that he won 1.2.
Oh my God!
They would probably be getting split up immediately.
Yeah, I mean, to the point where he would be able to do that successfully to make that type of money, and you know, everyone thought going in, especially to that final round, that the Italian youngster Francesco Molinari was going to win in particular, but he did not. Tiger Woods prevailed, and you know, he kissed some foreign lady who we thought was a real Carmen Sandiego lady as well.
Yeah, I did see there was this girl that, you know, Tiger hugged his mom after the win, hugged his daughter, and then hugged his son. And then I thought I saw, you know, Carmen Sandiego run up and give him a hug. And so I was a little bit confused because I'm looking like who's this Carmen Sandiego looking, and, you know, the she had the hat, the whole demeanor and whatnot. But I guess it's Tiger Woods' new girlfriend. I guess her name is Erica Herman, but she also could, in fact, be, and, you know, internet, you need to look into her and find out. She could, in fact, be where Carmen Sandiego is. She might be Carmen Sandiego. I don't know. Like, you guys might need to look into that.
I mean, I definitely feel as if this episode should be certainly where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, and I think we found her. She was in Augusta this past weekend. We identified her.
She might end up in Jupiter, Florida, you know, by Tiger's tug plug spot soon, too. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, Robert Kraft and good old Tiger Woods are having a real field day in Jupiter, Florida. This is an amazing place. I don't know why we live in Florida and we don't live in Jupiter, Florida, because it seems like all the best things are happening in Jupiter.
Yeah, now Jupiter, it's definitely full of action. I didn't think it would be, but yeah, that might be where everybody's going to start going to.
And speaking of like tug plugs and just the fact of all plugs in general, that obviously leads us to our next story here, which talks about, in particular, we're transitioning and talking about sports. So good old Drake, right? So as of Drizzy. So everyone knows as of Drake, he's an interesting blend. He's black, Jewish, and Canadian, which is a real hybrid. Yeah. I don't know if that's a real thing. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a mixture, and, you know, definitely represents the six, you know, Canada, stand up. And he basically kind of took, you know, Toronto and Canada and kind of put it on his shoulders and became their, like, international spokesperson. But apparently, you know, he has a lot of clout and he can travel and go to a lot of sporting events and you know, talks to all the NBA players, things like that. Apparently, though, every sports team that Drake has basically affiliated himself with and taken selfies with, you know, a player from that team, apparently they've gone on to lose, you know, either the next game or if they're in a playoff series, they've lost the series. And it's happened, it's been actually documented how many times this has actually happened. So, you know, there was, he's a big supporter of the Toronto Raptors NBA basketball team. He's actually, I believe their facility or their stadium is the OVO Center, or it's like labeled something.
Yeah.
It's like OVO.
Oh, yeah. You know. They're all about him. He's like the true spokesperson, yeah.
So, yeah, so I mean, and Drake was sitting courtside and all that other stuff. And, you know, he basically was trying to cheer them on, and then they lost. And you know, just didn't, the team just didn't kind of recover. So that was one big loss. But then, in the NHL this year, Drake was rocking a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey.
Yep.
And the Maple Leafs lost 6-4. And so then they ended up, tying their series with, they were playing Boston, I believe, and they ended up tying their series with that. And then people actually started sending out tweets. And this one girl, I don't know if she's famous or not, but this one tweet is from at playgirl69. Her name is Julia Franklin.
I mean, let's talk about that name first off. It's fantastic.
And it's play_girl69. So
we trust her.
You know, she seems like a reasonable person. And her tweet basically says, Drake, I love you, but please go home.
I mean, legitimately, like, right? You think about all these stories, even if you're, like, I was reading it as the same article we were just talking about. Earlier this year, Drake recorded himself wearing an Alabama sweatshirt and posted it to his Instagram story. Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide were preparing to take on Clemson in the 2019 National Championship game. Guess what? Alabama lost and got murdered 44-16.
Yeah, I actually remember that.
Yep.
Clemson just jumped all over him and it was a wrap. And you're very familiar with soccer.
Of course.
International soccer. And this team, AS Roma, actually banned their players from taking any photos with Drake until the end of the season.
Which I love that, by the way. Like, not only did they not just state that publicly, but the club was publicly announcing this on their Twitter account saying, all Roma players are banned from taking photos with Drake until the end of the season because they know that this is very common.
Okay, so here's another one because, Drake back in 2015 had, dated Serena Williams, the tennis player.
Of course.
She might be the best. I know she's closing in on possibly like a top record. She needs like a little bit more. But, she's closing in. And so in 2015, she was going into the U.S. Open and she was the top seed. And she was just running through all of her opposition. It was like nobody that could stop her. You know, she's killing it. And, you know, she got into the semifinals and she played an unranked player, an Italian young lady by the name of Roberta Vinci. And Vinci upset Serena Williams and Drake happened to be in attendance cheering her on, you know, at that match.
Well, don't you remember, like, he was, like, standing up and applauding her very aggressively when she would win sets in certain points and then she lost the match ultimately.
Yeah. And then he wasn't applauding.
No.
You know, after that. And then, to toss in another one, because it's not just, like, one sport.
No.
Two sports. So, UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship, back in UFC 236, Drake was side by side with Conor McGregor at the weigh-in for his fight against I forget the guy's last name. First name's Khabib. I'm trying to think of his last name.
Yeah, Khabib. I mean, they'll know it by Khabib. Absolutely, he's like the biggest dude in the UFC for sure.
So yeah, so he's side by side with Conor McGregor at his weigh-in, and Drake is sitting there giving words of encouragement to Conor, and he even I think either Drake had the Irish flag draped over his shoulders. Or maybe McGregor took it off of his shoulders and then put it onto Drake's, you know, when he was about to weigh in. And McGregor proceeded to get waxed in one of the worst beatings of his career. I mean, so it went from, we had soccer internationally. We had hockey, you know, NHL hockey. We had UFC. We had tennis.
College basketball.
We had college football.
Yep. And then college football as well.
You know the college basketball one, I think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So even Kentucky last won a national championship in 2014. Drake had already reached a mainstream popularity with his music, But even still, by that point, he was shooting free throws and warming up with them. Guess what? They got beat.
I mean, it literally six sports. I think it was five or six sports. Like, I get it. Like, it's fun to hang out with Drake. You know, you run around, you have photo ops, jets, whatever. But if you're an athlete and it's regular season, just, you know, just talk on the phone maybe.
Text, yeah, I wouldn't definitely publicly do that. And speaking of Drake and speaking of Canada in particular, crazy things are happening in Canada, which is insane because we're talking about Drake and how he's ruining everything. But it seems like the Canadian people are also simultaneously ruining things. Like this next series of events that we were just about to dive into is a suspect who posed as a delivery man and shot a woman with a crossbow, JR.
That's unreal.
I mean, you sent me this and I couldn't believe like this whole story as well. So a woman will be in recovery for the rest of her life after someone posing as a delivery person shot her from point blank with a crossbow. So the attack, which is being investigated as an attempted murder, of course, occurred in November within Ontario, Canada. So literally this guy, and we'll post definitely the video of this, but imagine someone walks to your front door, presents a box and acts as if the box is actually being visible and shoots a fucking live Gear of Wars type crossbow directly in your chest.
So the one thing I would say for this story, just because I'm so used to, you know, anything and everything coming by Amazon, so it's normally just they leave it at your front and then they walk off. Like, I think sometimes they'll even like ring the doorbell but then run off.
Right.
But they never stand there and wait to hand deliver it to
you. Never.
So, you know, I don't know how the Amazon situation is in Canada specifically. And I mean, just it's troubling because just the fact that somebody's going to sit there and go through all this trouble just to, and I don't know what this lady did. I don't know, you know, what would actually, oh, like I'm going to take this heavy game crossbow. Like you take that if you're going to go like hardcore hunting. You don't do that.
Yeah. And that's the thing as well, which is insane, right? So this weapon is typically used for hunters to kill large game like a moose and a deer. And when you think about Canada, and I've heard this a bunch of times, people in Canada don't lock their doors, right? So when you walk up and you approach them in their residence, they'll open the door and be friendly and talk to you and engage and talk about this in detail. But she's just like commonly opening up and she's like, well, this sucks because you just got crossbowed to the chest.
And so like to kind of put it into perspective, like this, the type of crossbow this guy used, it would be traditionally used to kill like deer or moose.
Insane.
Like not a 140 pound woman. And obviously you guys know, you know, how big moose are, but like a deer, if a deer hits your car, like, or if you hit a deer with your car is pretty much, at least the front end is going to be ruined.
100%.
And so he's using a crossbow that he's going to use on these dense, you know, like, you know, big dense animals, whatever, and he's gonna hit a person with it. Like, it's just, it's the craziest thing. I mean, fortunately the lady is recovering, and I mean, she was home alone when the attack happened, but she managed to close the door and call 911 after the attack. She did spend several months in the hospital, and yeah, because it's happened a little bit, you know, back, but we got like the full details now. But she is in the recovery phase. But unfortunately it says that she's gonna be in that recovery phase for basically the rest of her life. The surveillance video wasn't able to capture the suspect's specific face, but they do have some hints and leads to it. So, you know, if you know anything about it, definitely, keep the door locked, like don't open your door or whatever.
But yeah. Shout out to all of our Canadian listeners. Don't open the door. I mean, as JR mentioned, if it's Amazon, just let it ride unless you need a certain signature. But honestly, that's some wild shit. And, you know, speaking of wild shit, this story here that we were talking about previously, this is actually one of the top couple stories in our Dark Sunsets style podcast that we've been very taken back by. So the title of the story consists of man who snorts his own piss says it improves his sex life, JR.
Yeah, and so this guy said that he hasn't had a cold in like 20 years, and he's like supposedly he's like a yoga master, And the reason why he claims that he hasn't had a cold in 20 years is because every time he goes to the toilet, he snorts a cup of his own pee.
And that's what's shocking, right? So we're going to post this, and we'll definitely want to share this with you if you have the opportunity to look at it. There's a photo of him. So when you go to dinner, you know, you get glasses of wine, and the server comes up and is like, oh, you're going to be drinking wine? And people sometimes say yes, some people sometimes say no, and they take away the glasses of wine. This gentleman, if you will, is taking that glass of wine and taking his own piss and looking into the lens of the camera and snorting it through his nostrils.
Yeah, so I actually have, I got a little audio clip from these guys. I'm just going to play it for you guys real quick, and then we're going to just touch back in. And you just listen to these guys talk. It's the yoga master, quote unquote, and his buddy. But just, you know, tell us your thoughts. It's about to play shortly. And it's about to play. Yeah, so, I mean, even the article itself doesn't feel comfortable with this whole urine situation. So it's like, do I really want to load up? Do I really want to give this audio?
Yeah, and as you're about to play this as well, and you can bring this up for a second, what's insane is he literally said, it is impossible to get a cold when you constantly drink it through the nose. You can feel under the weather, but drink one up the nose, and any clouds start to evaporate. So for this guy, he actually takes a cup with him, and he goes, if I have to go to the bathroom, I take it with me. So he essentially takes a cup with him and then drinks it through his nose. Quote, unquote, you feel like Superman, dot. You're going into a phone booth and do something that no one knows, and it's a secret.
It's very scandalous. Hopefully, if this clip does play, then you can hear him. But if it doesn't, then, you know, we'll just leave it be and go on. I'm going to try it one more time. We'll see what happens.
When I first met Kelly in the year 2000, we were writing line. And after a few months, we teamed up, me and Kelly and someone else, a French friend. And then Kelly, after a few months, he discovered it himself in the bathroom because we were like taking the same techniques he was doing. So he wanted to, you know, push it to the next level, raise the bar. So he found a way to drink through his.
Yeah, so this article itself is just, it's very glitchy. It's the whole pee situation. The computer doesn't even like the concept of this. But yeah, it's basically, if you want to try to find the fountain of youth, maybe you already have it attached to you or through you, however you want to.
I mean, and that's what's insane, right? So he talks about on his sex life claims, he goes, before I was often drained and drowsy, I was 22, and once I started to drink my urine, I felt like I was younger again. The urine is just an overall boost. It makes you feel younger and makes you feel like you have more hardness on your dick, okay? It does actually make you last longer as well. So you've seen the movie Waterworld, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so we both know what that movie's about with Kurt Russell.
Right.
So Kurt Russell had a mechanism in his boat that transformed his urine into water.
Yep.
Was he fucking up by just not snorting it?
Well, it sounds like he, you know, basically wasted his time when, you know, he could have cut out the middleman and just got right to the golden fountain, apparently, because this guy for 20 years, quote unquote, you know, is healthy. So, I mean, I wouldn't, listeners, basically go out and throw away my multivitamins and you know, echinacea and stuff like that. Don't throw out your Flintstones chewables. Just don't do anything hasty, but, you know, just be cautious and be wary of vegan urine drinking yoga masters, because anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, if you like approach somebody and you think they're homeless and they smell like urine, 9 times out of 10, they're probably snorting it up their nose in order to last longer, or they're a yoga instructor. So, you know, we're summarizing the episode here, and we certainly want to cater to what's happening now. We're coming up on Easter. Easter Sunday is literally approaching this weekend. It's going to be full of kids running around doing Easter egg hunt, people actually going to church. Lent is occurring as well, so certain people are taking certain things that they want to change. But what have you got for us on that Easter egg front?
Yeah, so for Easter, there's actually a hot new trend. And so it's basically just painted Easter egg butts. It's the season's hot trend. And apparently it's all over like IG and stuff like that. But I don't know how all these trends keep kicking in or whatever. But, you know, basically what's going on, it's you know, quote unquote booties that are quote unquote delicately painted with an Easter egg on each cheek. And so, you know, you're basically running around, left cheek you have an egg, right cheek you have an egg, and it comes in an array of colors, designs. You got classic eggs. You can get ones with like the face of Mona Lisa, you know, famous artworks and whatnot. But it's I guess basically this Easter egg butt situation has now rivaled some of the highest ranking and highest paying body paint and body art fees and stuff like that, just like the highest grossing genre, if you will. And it's just for Easter. So, you know, if on Easter Sunday you guys are walking around and you see just some Easter eggs in the distance, make sure that before you run and grab it, that it's actually an Easter egg and not, you know, Easter egg booties.
Yeah, and we definitely want to just put that out there, you know, in the Dark Sunsets type universe. So as your kids are doing Easter egg hunting, you know, there could be some booties laying out there that are painted equally as perfect. So we want to make sure that your kids are making sure that they can open up the eggs and maybe find some money or find some eggs, because we don't want them to just like grab on two Christmas hams. And ultimately, that's what we're saying. So we appreciate everyone listening to episode 9. Of course, we're coming up on episode 10, which is a huge milestone. And as always,
peace.